This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, in each of us, there is a little bit of saint and a little bit of sinner. And you know this already. You know because it is in you that we live and move and have our very being. This feast day, we pray that saint may edge out sinner, that we may find ourselves stretched towards you and not pushed away. We pray that we become all you made us to be and that we may give honor to your creation. We pray that we may not so much become holier than thou, so much as holy, that we become the best we can be. In your name we pray. Amen. Happy feast day, saints. Well, if you forgot to set your clocks back, this is not the unplugged service. Or if you're on a sugar high from Halloween, so be it. Welcome to All Saints Day, our combined All Saints, All Souls Day celebration. I love that we combine these two feast days because for me, I can't really understand one truly without the other. Last night at the 5 o'clock service, Rev Wendy joined me as we had a baptism for little Ash Hernick, and there was a crying baby. And it seemed like the crying baby got especially loud as we read that gospel story. And so I told the family, don't worry about it. He's just acting out the part of Jesus in the gospel today, crying. I cannot think of a more appropriate gospel for All Saints Day than this one. There is every emotion and feeling expressed throughout that I think we could possibly imagine. Tears and crying, grief, pain, anticipation, expectation, anger, disappointment. Everything that we could imagine in our realm of emotions is in this Lazarus story. I think it reflects the life that we lead. That we have this gift of emotions and feelings and everything that God gives us to enable us to find God in all things, at all times, in all places. There's a great theologian by the name of Pierre de Chardin, and he writes in one place this great line and says, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that we are human beings having a spiritual experience, when in fact, God made us to be spiritual beings having a human experience. When we look at it in that perspective, the feelings, the emotions, what we go through in this human experience of ours, as finite and limited as it is only one way in which God enables us to point towards the spiritual experience that we are called to have. We are a mixture of saints and sinners. We are a mixture of all sorts of feelings and emotions that we go through. But as the Celtic Christians would point out, all of that is a thin place where God is available and reachable by us. To make the point, I do today what I do with you every All Saints weekend. I ask you to take out the Red Book of Common Prayer and turn to page 862. Most people look at the catechism of the Episcopal Church, or any denomination for that matter, and they fall asleep. This particular page is one that excites me. And I like to spend the time reminding us of what we truly believe. And if you look on 862, and we're going to start with the second from the top, I'm going to read the questions and invite you to read all the answers. What do we mean by heaven and hell? By heaven, we mean eternal life in our enjoyment of God. By hell, we mean eternal death in our rejection of God. Notice that there is no mention of just after we die. That this heaven we are called to experience now in our enjoyment of God. Why do we pray for the dead? We pray for them because we still hold them in our love and because we trust that in God's presence, those who have chosen to serve Him will grow in His love until they see Him as He is. Hence, when we read the litany of all of our loved ones today, we know why we do it. What do we mean by the last judgment? We believe that Christ will come in glory and judge the living and the dead. And what's going to happen? What do we mean by the resurrection of the body? We mean that God will raise us from death in the fullness of our being, that we may live with Christ in the communion of the saints. Living with Christ in the communion of the saints. That all of those people who have gone before us, that we grieve their loss, maybe it was last week, maybe it was last year, this is telling us that we are going to see them again. This is incredible good news. What is the communion of saints? The communion of saints is the whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love and those whom we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. You know, we celebrate each year with our school. The first graders get dressed up like the saints and they have their little halos with the tinsel. And they come up and they say, "My name is Saint Joseph. I was the husband of Mary and the foster father of Jesus." And the next one comes up. And it was this year one of the most adorable and beautiful times I've ever experienced it. And after they finished this year, we had them all come up and encircle the altar. And it was such an incredible symbol of this gathering of the communion of saints. You know, we believe that in some mysterious way, every time we come together for Eucharist, that communion of saints, living and dead, is all gathered with us. That's pretty amazing. Jesus instituted the Eucharist, "Do this in memory of me," but it's an opportunity for us to remember that we are joined with the communion of saints who are in heaven as well. What do we mean by everlasting life? By everlasting life, we mean a new existence in which we are united with all the people of God in the joy of fully knowing and loving God and each other. A new existence. This is a Lazarus out of the tomb existence to which we are called. It wasn't by mistake that Jesus decided to wait 4 days. He wanted to make sure Lazarus was dead. He wanted to make sure we knew this is the power of the God in whom we believe. And how appropriate with Halloween last night, and this zombie comes out of the dark place and says, Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." Those are words said to each one of us. The new existence to which we are called. Be unbound. Let him go. Go change the world. What then is our assurance as Christians? Our assurance as Christians is that nothing, not even death, shall separate us from God. Jesus. Amen. Do you hear those words you're saying? This is not boring school stuff. This is incredible stuff. Nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. We're called to a new existence. That Jesus is going to come back again. That we are going to be with all those who have gone before us. Whenever I have someone come to me and say, why do you get excited about being a Christian or an Episcopalian? All I got to do is read this page. This is amazing stuff. And the communion of saints, the whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love and those whom we hurt, saints and sinners all. This is an incredible concept that we celebrate, especially with this combined feast of all saints and all souls. That when we mess up, that when we do well, that when we have certain emotions, it doesn't preclude God from being present in the other emotions and feelings as well, that God is always available to us. That we can claim this sainthood at all times and in all places. I shared with some of you an experience I had last week that for me just brought this whole thing into so much perfect perspective, that God is always there for us. We had a parishioner who got mixed up in some corporate misdoings, and after the appeals and everything, it turns out he gets sentenced to 5 years in federal penitentiary, and the family loses everything they have. So much so that they didn't even have a way to get a bus ticket to get him to where he had to go, to the prison. And so I said, I will go, I will pick you up, I will take you and drive you to the prison. And we get to the prison, and it was a scary, scary time for this man. Never having been to a prison before, he didn't know what he was getting into. Frightful. But at that time, I've never seen someone who was so in touch with the presence of God and calling out for God to be with him at this moment. And so we gather under a big oak tree outside the reception facility where he's going to self-surrender, and we have a healing service, and I anoint him. And the main anointing was that God's love will cast out fear because he's scared to death not knowing what's ahead. Now keep that image. The same day, I had gone up to Carolina because one of our other parishioners, Bob McLeod, had had to move up there with his wife, Catherine. Faithful parishioners of St. Joseph's for many years, but Bob was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer that had metastasized and had gone throughout his body. And so they moved up to Carolina because that's where Bob's family and grandkids were, to give him the opportunity to have these last months with them. Well, the chemotherapy didn't work, and so they had called in hospice. And the doctor said they didn't think Bob would make it till Thanksgiving, so the family was gathering last Saturday to celebrate an early Thanksgiving with Bob. So Catherine invited me to go there and to offer a Thanksgiving service with them. And so we gathered on that same day in the late afternoon into the evening, and we celebrated a Thanksgiving Eucharist together, all surrounding Bob, grandkids, family together with Catherine. And during that Thanksgiving Eucharist, we used the gospel of the 10 lepers, and only one comes back to thank Jesus. And after reading the gospel, I said, okay, the sermon today is yours. Let's pretend we are that one leper who came back to say thank you. Based on where this family is in our journey together, I would invite any of you to share with Bob what you are grateful for that he has shared with you. I didn't know who or anybody would speak. But every child and grandkid from the age of 5 to the 20-somethings that were there all spoke up. And it wasn't talking about the birthday card with the $5 that he gave to them. Every single one of them, from the youngest to the oldest, had something to share how Bob had impacted their faith journey because he had told them in some way and lived some way about Jesus. None of us held it together very well. But just like those emotions in the Lazarus story, God was present there. After everyone had finished speaking, Bob wanted to take the floor, and he did. And in that intimate setting, shared with each of his kids and his grandkids what his wishes were for their ongoing spiritual journey in life. It was one of the most difficult, but one of the most beautiful, one of the most draining, but one of the most energizing experiences I have had in my own faith journey. Think of those two stories in one day. A man crying out for the presence of God because he has no idea where he's going and what he's headed into. A man at the end of the day who is crying not only tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. Why? Because he knows exactly where he's going. And God is present in both. We are saints. We are sinners, but we are all in the hands, and we are all called to a sainthood in support of a God whose love will never let us go. So celebrate page 862 with your sainthood and enjoy God.